And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Thunderstorm! Yeah! Unafeared, 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 here on Declare Your Independence. And me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedom's Phoenix. Yeah, see, I think I'm unsick. I mean, you know, I'm kind of, yeah, of course, everybody's going to try and scare me, damn it. You know, we asked somebody from across the pond about how coronavirus is being seen there. We're talking about a bunch of other stuff. Barry Kerwin from Wexford, Ireland, and a friend of ours that comes on the show to talk about general stuff, you know, liberty issues, Ireland, Brexit, coronavirus, economy, activism. You know, let's say hello to Barry Kerwin. Hello, Barry.
Hey, how's it going, Ernie?
I'm excited about talking to you. Into my week on, I get to, you know, talk to Barry. That's my win. Okay, so tell me every little old thing from your perspective about Brexit. Is it done? Going to be done? They kind of did it. What's the news from you guys' perspective?
Well, from Ireland's point of view, I suppose we're still in the EU, and the UK has left. We share a border up north with Northern Ireland, so they're going. They haven't sorted out their terms, I suppose, with the EU, and that's all up for negotiation.
Well, they're going to build a wall. You getting a wall between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, huh? Get a wall? Do you get a wall?
Well, they could build one, but what would be the point?
because they threatened that they would, because they're like, oh, we're going to have to, and you know, Irish be welcome here and not there, and we're going to, because the wall, because be afraid. I don't know what the, you know, now that it's done, is everybody going, thank God it's done? Or are they just like, oh no, the evil starts now and we're gonna have a war? Or what's the general consensus on the tele?
I think the general population are probably just fed up even hearing about it. It's been constant in the papers for the last how many years. They're glad it's sort of out of the way. What will happen, who knows? I mean, a lot of Irish exports go to the UK. We provide a lot of food. Meat and dairy would be the mainstay of it. But a lot of food leaves Ireland to the UK and always has gone right back through the centuries. So they still need to eat. obviously, they're not getting their imports from China anymore. Whether that much food from there or not, they'll be even more dependent on local economy. And I think this coronavirus, I was just listening to your previous guest, very interesting. If the economic impact of it is going to be much bigger than anything I think we've ever seen, even if it turns out to not infect too many people, I think the economic impact is going to be massive worldwide.
Well, they sure as heck need an excuse. They need it. Here it's going to go. Yeah, that was, yeah, it was coronavirus. That's what did it. Yeah, pinky swear. And I'm whatever. It's always, you know, black swan or something. But how's the economy there now? And when they did Brexit, is all of a sudden factories shut down or gym back up or what?
No, it's been pretty negligible. I suppose some of the larger companies, Ireland would have a lot of American pharmaceutical companies here, the likes of Google and Facebook have head offices in Dublin for the likes of Europe. So, look, I can't see in the local economy, I suppose, this outside of Dublin being the main city is where most of the work is. The rest of the country hasn't really recovered from the recession of 2008, still limping along. So we'll see what happens. I don't think it's going to make too much of a difference to the economy as it is. Like as I said,
well, which direction is it going? You have now. You have the United Kingdom going out, and they kept their pound. You know, they have their own central bank of whatever the heck. And then you got the European Central Bank, and you know the Republic of Ireland is part of the European Union still, and you're subject to a lot of whatever controls they have and using their money in the euro. And so is Great Britain going to continue to accept euros? Businesses, they want to, will, can't, what?
They'll have to. I mean, that's like international trade is done in most of the major currencies.
Well, I mean, dollars. You know, if I go to the McDonald's in London, am I using a euro or pounds or what?
No, anywhere in the UK, you'd be using a pound. They wouldn't take a euro over the counter. You'd have to go to a bank to exchange it.
Okay. Have they ever taken the euro?
No.
Okay. Well, see, I'm like, I don't see what the big deal is. You know, I'm wondering the European Central Bank. They're worried about freaking contagion of the money, the economics going down. How does the Republic of Ireland look at the European Central Bank and their health?
Well, I suppose we're a vassal of the European Central Bank at this point. And they're printing money good old, just like the Federal Reserve and the English Central Bank. So I think like the economies of everywhere are slowing down anyway. If you look at just car sales or house prices, no matter what you pick, every indicator has been pointing to a crash. And this virus, I suppose now, as you say, is going to be the excuse to blame it on, even though it was going to happen anyway, sooner or later.
Well, tell me how there's still negotiations with the crown, the British crown, on your land. Is the Republic of Ireland broke away totally, completely? Bite me. We do our own laws on our land and property and an ecology, where, or is that a Brussels thing? How free is the Republic of Ireland?
Well, it's free from, we have our own parliament here, so it makes its own law, supposedly for the people, just like yourselves. But the European law would be take precedent over Irish law if there was a conflict, I would say, between the two. It doesn't happen very often, but
when it comes down to it, you got the European Union court saying what's what, and Republic of Ireland.
The Republic of Ireland has to follow whatever the European court says, or supposed to. That's the theory of it.
Okay, now wait a minute. Is the European Union viable in the future? You think it's going to start cracking? Are they leaving? Is it done, or has it got a future?
My personal opinion, if Germany decides to leave and has had enough of bailing, we'll say, the smaller countries out, that's the end of it. Like, the European Union is really Germany and France and Italy to a degree as the main economic powers in its support.
Looks like Italy might be saying sayonara one of these days. When we come back, we can talk about a lot of your trips and your activism there and what you're doing in the local court system and everything. I just want to know if it pleases the crown, can I occupy my own land? That's all I want to know. Is that possible in Ireland? I don't know. We're going to find out. Barry Kerr, when we come back from Ireland in just a little bit. Republic of Ireland. Sorry. Don't shoot me.
From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
So how are you? And I'm you know, talking about how you doing on your wedding plans and stuff. What's up?
Slow progress, but Emma's working on it.
Did you guys get a location yet?
No, narrowed it down to a few choices, I think, here. So we'll see.
Is there anything you have to worry about, or is that like, yeah, whatever, let me know when I show up?
I suppose, tell me when to show up and how much is it.
Right. Yeah. Are you getting any say on how much is it?
Well, as a good friend of mine says, you can have whatever you can afford.
Right. Oh, it's, you know, that'll be fun. You know, we're doing our, I think we told you about our trip, right? Can you see the screen?
Yeah, you were talking about getting a bus, is that?
Yeah, no, we got it. Here, wait a minute, I can probably show you.
Nice. Very good.
Yeah, no, this is a, you know, just a kind of the mock-up of it. There's a bunch of stuff on it, but that's kind of the shape of the bus and doing whatever. But that's clubbuslibertytour.com. And we have it. I go back on the 4th. We were back there doing some work on it and then doing electrical system stuff and everything. And then I go back on the 4th for 2 weeks and build a studio inside. So it's going to be a thing. And touring America, you might want to come for a little leg of something, kind of a little tour of something, you know? You know, take
sounds
a hunt.
Good.
You know, just to visit with. We're going to have caravans a lot of times, some friends with planes and stuff. They're like, yeah, we'll go. All right, here we're coming back.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, Barry Kerwin from the Republic of Ireland. And we're just yakking it. What's going on with, I watch, you know, the only thing I watch that interests me is Nigel Farage coming on yelling at, you know, the European Parliament and you guys suck and we're leaving and told you so and all that. That's the only interest I really have. I mean, are you in support of Nigel Farage going up there and getting what for? Or are you guys, no, we got to stay, you know, nuke Nigel. I mean, you know, what's your opinion of him?
Well, he would be a British politician, so he wouldn't really have much to do with Ireland, but he's interested in throwing a few stones in the EU, where a lot of them seem to be there just to pander to whatever the boss says, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, who's the boss in this whole thing? Is it just, I mean, you just might as well they, them, those? Or is it just Soros? Or is it, you know, what?
Who knows? It's like any parliament, I suppose, or anything else, any organization, the bigger it gets, the farther removed it is from the people itself.
Yeah, that usually tends to be. So this is, you're getting married this summer, right? You're going to be doing it this summer?
No, it'll probably be next year.
Next year? Oh, see, man, you're not going to make it, man. You know? Anyway, so Emma gets to plan her wedding. You get the, it's going to be fun. Well, that's cool. Keep us informed on when it's going to be. You never know.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, go ahead and tell me about your activism locally. You know, as you're dealing with, you know, you always got something going on with the courts there, and you're making arguments on property and land and everything, but your system's a little different than, I don't know, it's getting to be the same, though. It used to be here, your castle, your home was your castle, and it's mine, and mine. And then with all of this, you know, environmental stuff and, you know, permits from the crown and all that, it's kind of yours. It's yours enough, you got to pay taxes on it, but it's not really yours, you know? And they're a little bit more blatant about it there. What did you learn lately that you can share with us?
We would have, I suppose, similar things. A couple of years ago, they did bring in a property tax on people's homes. That didn't exist here until after the crash of 08. Was one of their major things, kind of nearly forced in by the EU, because they have it in most other European countries. So now, essentially, no, you don't own your home.
Okay, whoa. You go in the EU, and then they have some Brussels thing of it's different real property ownership? Is that what you're saying?
No, the tax itself, sorry, the property tax.
That's the same thing. What happens when you don't pay your European Union property tax?
Well, what happened, I suppose they'd be looking to get their pound of flesh at some stage, be it try and force a sale on the house eventually, or I suppose they'd have to wait till you died maybe and had to get you out of the house. I don't know. It hasn't come to that yet. They do try and scare people, pay your taxes or else, same as anywhere else.
Yeah.
That tax, I suppose, was one of the most undermining things to people's own property. It's because essentially it isn't yours anymore.
Let's do that. Let's have, you know, across the ocean, you know, on the continent of in Brussels, and they get a cut of my land and what I can and can't do. Let's vote for that. Let's do that. I vote not. You know, that is seriously. So you think the Republic of Ireland would ever be looking to leave the European Union?
The politicians here and the media here would be huge promoters of the EU, as if the EU could never do anything wrong. I'm not so sure about the people. I suppose Ireland has benefited in a few ways from money coming from the EU, but it's like any tax. It's been stolen from you first to be given back to you. And they would have built a number of roads and things like that with the money, but the majority of it would have, you know, on the scale, I suppose, Ireland would have lost a lot to the EU, as in our fishing waters. Ireland has a huge coastline, and a lot of the European trawlers with the huge ships come in and basically take all the fish in the Irish waters and then head back to Spain or France or wherever they come from. And there's also a huge amount of oil and gas off the coast. So I don't know. It seeing the exact numbers. Is the EU a benefit or not? I don't know. It's a crooked little country as it is anyway, politically wise. And being that bit smaller, I suppose you're only a couple of people removed from knowing someone else in the country.
Well, how are you perceived in, you know, a lot of the questions that you want answered and you've gone to court and I, you know, make them say it, you know, whatever it is. I'm wondering, are they going, damn, man, that Barry guy, but I'm glad Barry brought this up. That was so nice of him. What kind of support are you getting from the locals or the local government? Or are you even dealing with the local government? Do you have to go through some European Union stamp of approved if you get to file a paper or something? How does this work?
Well, no, I haven't been dealing with any of the local government at all, but I suppose a lot of people in Ireland, the fallout from 2008 for the property crash still hasn't played out. There's a huge amount of delinquent mortgages and say negative equity in some places, as well as a huge amount of homeless people been essentially thrown out of their houses by banks. And there is good people fighting that fight day after day up in the courts. To no joy, the judiciary and the solicitors and barristers playing the game up there.
Okay, wait. So you're saying for over a decade now, you've had people that are outside of... you know, they're homeless, living out as a, you know, repercussion from the last economic thing that happened. And those home, I guess, confiscations, foreclosures, whatever, they're still yet to be adjudicated?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's still quite a number of them. And there's a big percentage of, would say, banks' books would be still underwater as such. So any little upset to the financial system or to the economy is going to have a huge snowball effect on that whole arena.
Wow. You feel it coming again? Is it going to be a whole bunch of the same? Another swipe of everybody all in and banks go, and that's ours now too? Is coming again, you think?
Oh, it's inevitable at some stage, but I think at the minute it's sped up and it's more likely. It's just going through a lot of...
Here it comes. And we're going to walk it through. We'll be right back. Barry Kerwin
has launched a trading platform at low...
Yeah, going into break. All right. This is... So what else you want to talk about? You know, I've got a bunch of stuff. You know, how's the... did we do any corona thing? Everybody all freaked out or what?
Yeah, we'll go through a bit of that if you want, yeah. It was only today, actually, there was a case confirmed, or last night, in the north of Ireland, in the UK's part. But the woman had travelled from... She flew into Dublin and then got a train, so the whole country probably has it by now. But we'll see how it plays out.
Well, I mean, do you feel... I don't know. They're telling the truth, or it's they're not telling enough of the truth, or they're lying, or they don't know what the hell is going on, or you know what.
Well, look, you can't believe anything in the media for a start. We all know that. It's always got a spin on it, even if it is half the truth. I think the economic impact is going to far outweigh the medical side of it. Now, I don't know much or very little about any of the medical side of it. Your last guest seemed very knowledgeable. So how does it affect the economy? I would say it's going to be a major setback. Like if you have like the schools in Japan, they're just shut down. If that happened here, sure, the country would come to a standstill. What do all the parents do with the kids? Someone has to stay home. And if the schools are shut, what else is going to shut? Like, hospitals, football matches, anywhere a crowd gathers or there's a lot of people going through, is just going to amplify the infection rate, isn't it?
Well, do you think they should? Or the guy I had on before, his whole thing is not that it's going to be able to be stopped, but that we don't want everybody to get sick all at one time because the system, whatever the hell that means, is not going to be able to take care of anybody. And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much how it always works. I'd like to have it to where we can take care of ourselves. I vote that. Let's do that. And that's never an option. Oh, no, the system's going to be overwhelmed. I go, well, why would I use that system then? I create my own system, or I got my own stuff, or I got a bunch of IV bags and an oxygen generator, and somebody took a phlebotomy class, they insert it my vein, and I get my saline, blah, 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 blah. I go, let's do that. No, hell no. Then you'll be like independent and stuff. Can't have self-sufficient people out there critically thinking their way out of this. And I'm going, this is exactly why decentralization. And I'm wondering if that philosophy is even present in Ireland. They go, it's just everybody just, all right, how are we going to protest and bitch about the government not doing something we could do ourselves and the energy we put in the bitch and we could have done it. You see my point?
I do, exactly.
Well, yeah. I mean, is there such a group there? I know you were hanging out with some, freedom groupies or whatever. They look like here, they'll call it, oh, my God, they're preparing themselves. And the first thing they did is they got a gun. Oh, my God. I mean, so I'm we'll talk about that. We come back. The attitude and how Ireland and Great Britain area and so on, how they prepare. Let's do that a little bit. Here we go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
A little less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more fight, a little less fun. A little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart, and baby, satisfy me.
Yeah! Satisfied, that's what I want to know. Little less conversation, a little more action, please. I'm just wanting to know if Elvis kind of inspired Ireland or not. I just want to know. I don't know, Barry. I'm looking at, coronavirus, Brexit, all kinds of crap going on. The economy took a dump, in 8 and 9 had a big impact. The court system overwhelmed with, foreclosures and homeless people, and that's still not totally adjudicated, and who's going to owe the tax man of whatever. It's going to come again. It's happening, and I'm wondering, at some point, the Irish were always seen as independent, fighting, leave me aloneism kind of people. I'm wondering, are they waiting for the government to take care of them, or do they have their equivalent of a activist movement or a revolution or militias or whatever? Give me the feel for Ireland as the individual people prepare for what's coming.
Majority of the population are in no way prepared. They're living hand to mouth, barely able to keep up with all the bills. It used to be a country where one person could work and support the family. Now the husband and wife have to both work just to keep the show on the road. Partially, I suppose, because of the high cost of rent and mortgages, the cost of housing, and now there's a shortage because not much building has happened over the last 10 years, really, since the crash. And we had an election here not too long ago, and that was one of the biggest, issues. And the two main parties, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, have been one or the other in control of the country since the foundation of the state. And both of them got a bit of a kicking in the election, and Sinn Féin got the largest vote, which was, I suppose, a big change in the whole country, and a lot of people greeted that with a lot of shock, and they still haven't formed the government and probably won't because they're all squabbling with one another. But as regards people preparing, we had the coronavirus confirmed in Northern Ireland today or tonight, and they traveled from Dublin. So it's suppose it's already here now, what will the impact be, as well as the health impact, because the hospitals here are already overflowing with patients, and a lot of patients on trolleys. Fenton happens, and you need to go to the A&E or basically...
Hey, wait. From the coronavirus, or people sick, or you mean just normal, that's the way it is?
Just general, that's the way it's been for the last 10 years. People basically, some people have even died on the hospital trolleys waiting to be seen.
Okay, now this is building up to a dissatisfaction with your particular government in general, because when I saw Sen Fin, I think it's how you say it, the party that was part of the troubles back in the day, you know, this was the revolutionary kind of militia, we got gun party of all of a sudden, they're starting to gain in parliament, is that right?
Yeah, originally that would have been them. I think a lot of the votes would have been kind of a protest vote, you know what I mean, against the other two parties, yeah, more than actually for them. They would have a questionable history going back through the Troubles and all that. But I suppose the general dissatisfaction by the general population, that bore the fruit of that part of the election. But the hospital trolleys are still there. People are still homeless. There's still all those issues unresolved, and they're all busy squabbling about who's going to be in power between all the parties.
Well, I'm interested in, you know, the attitude of the people. It all comes down to general public opinion, and their opinion is their government sucks. You know, we need it replaced. We got to, you know, we're going to vote our way to freedom or better circumstance or not, or we need to, you know, separate from the European Union. We're going to, I'm wondering about property rights. You know, people there's a plenty of land. I mean, it's out. Who owns all that land? You know, I mean, you know, the Republic of Ireland, what's the population?
4.5 million, nearly 5 million, I think.
I got that many in the valley here in Phoenix. So there's a lot of open land. Who owns it?
Well, most of the land would have been individuals. And obviously the state has a portion of different places. But we'll say your general household or farmer would own their own farm. Obviously, the banks think they own them if there's a mortgage on them.
Well, what's the taxes? Is it really high property taxes? Can you just own land and sit there, or you got to be paying a whole bunch of money?
No, there's no, on farmland, there isn't any taxes.
Well, let's go get us a farm in Ireland.
On a property, we'll say on a home, they just brought in the property tax in the last few years, and they've slowly started to creep up the price on it, or the tax on it.
So they are raising property taxes.
Yeah, slowly but surely, yeah. And then, look, you have all sorts, income tax here is, the higher rate is nearly 50%, you know?
Whoa, what? 50% at all levels, or is it, you know, the billionaire level, or what?
No, I can't think of the exact numbers now, but the first, would say the first 25,000 is at 22%. These figures now are more than likely wrong, but just to give you an idea. And
so the first 25,000, you make 25,000, whatever, dollars, pounds, however you guys do it, you know, euros a year, and that's still at 22% income tax?
Income tax.
And then there's a bunch of other taxes too, right?
Yeah, they have a universal social charge, which is supposed to be for the hospitals. There's all sorts of taxes anyway. And any income after that then is at 47 or 8%, I think it is.
Whoa, if I make over 25,000 a year, my taxes go up to 40-something percent?
Yep. Your income
tax. What? U.S. probably not a whole lot better with all the crap that. So that is one thing. Is there a self-reliance movement there? People live in their caravans. They're doing an RV travel about, got a tent. I mean, is it communities of we're out in the hinterland in the hills of something? I mean, does that happen? What?
No. The only people in tents are the homeless ones if they can get one.
So what is it about occupying land? You know, somebody, I'm homeless, so I've got a tent here on this here hill. And they go, nope. They come up and they arrest them. What?
They'd try and move them on, of course. They wouldn't arrest them. But,
they're not going to let them create their own unofficial.
Well, most land would be owned by a local farmer, a small farmer. Like your average farm size in Ireland is probably under 100 acres. So there would be a few
so
bigger
So all
farms.
Land is probably owned generally by individuals, and then the government, do they have like, you know, parks or sanctuaries or any of that crap? Yeah. How much of the land is in public hands?
I couldn't give you the exact figures. Now, there would be a lot of social houses, similar, I suppose, same kind of scheme as you'd have for the projects there in the cities. They'd be owned, obviously, by the state or the local authority.
Well, you know, when we come back, I want to talk about, you know, the promises that are made, you know, by the governments. They're going to be going, hey, man, vote for us and we'll what? Give you more freedom, or we'll give you a house, or we'll pay off your student loan, or we'll give you a car, or we're going to build a train, you know, station line, kind of something. What are they promising? What are they good for? They give me some freedom? You know, how about that? I just want to know. What's the promise?
There are basically two.
What is the promise? You got the politician up there, pick me, because why?
Social housing. To reduce the homelessness and better health system. Now, both of them are probably impossible tasks regardless. But that's even if they had the money and the will to do it, government just can't do anything right, no matter what it is.
I'm interested because, you know, it shows me around the world that it's a generational thing. It seems to me it's not even really a geography thing. You know, it's not this country, that country. Sooner or later, people go, you know, government doesn't work. I want my money back. You know, you're just a thug. You're just a thief. You know, you're lying. You know, you never give me what you promise, and you're causing more problems than you solve. So, and we're done. Well, this is what China, they were... when they saw what this corona was going to do, they acted collectively. They just went, no, we're shutting down. This is not, we're not going to be able to handle this. So they just went draconian and locked down and robots signifying that guy's got a temperature and they jump him and put him into whatever. I'm going, wow. So I'm just going, the solution, hell, is as bad or worse than the freaking disease. So I'm wondering the mindset of the Chinese people coming out screaming that they hate their government and this and that, and their social credit score goes to zero. And so you have that same kind of feeling with and governments always act like governments, and they just do cluster mandates if you have to, and then we don't have the facilities to help you. Oh, and by the way, you're not allowed. It's against the law for you to help yourself. And I'm going, as time goes on, that realization that when you really needed the government, it's they're not there, they're lying, and they're a piece of crap. So when that happens, I'm wondering, it's like worldwide revolutions going on everywhere. And it's what the movie V for Vendetta was about. That entire movie was you had a illness that they had the solution for and gave them all kinds of power and the cure. They got rich and now they got all the power. And I'm going, well, that kind of sucked, you know? So I'm seeing it play out in front of me. And I'm wondering, in Ireland, you have a kind of a rebellious history, rebellious, you know, heritage, a lot like the United States. There's not a lot of places that speak English that have this kind of rebellion against the British Empire that was successful. And when you have that, you know, under your belt, then you go sign up with the European Union. That was a joke. But, you know, but it took them a couple of tries, and they kept, you know, having you vote or something. They kept screwing with Ireland to do it anyway. So I'm wondering, is there a remnant of, they got their Patrick Henry or their George Washington kind of Thomas Jefferson characters that are like, you know, hell no, we're going to go independent of mind and thought, and we just be, you know, Irishmen and proud heritage of here's my ale. I mean, you know, I just, you see my point? If there's a point, yeah, that's going to explode out of there.
There'd be no central, let's say, person or group or I suppose the general population or in the psyche of the Irish, it would be keep the head down and don't put it above the parapet. It might get chopped off, you know. Say nothing.
All right, here we're coming back. Let's talk about it.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yes, he told you to walk this way, but they don't listen to the Queen anymore. No, we're going to do it our own way. Well, that's one thing about, you know, the Irish people here in America. When I was growing up as a kid, you know, in the 70s and so on, it was always about the IRA, the Irish Republican Army. And they had, you know, doing all kinds of ambushing and killing the British soldiers. And we're not doing kind of, and it was a religious thing primarily. It's who, you know, some animals are more equal than others. So it had Catholics versus the Protestants. The Protestant is the Church of England that came royal decree of whatever, and we don't like Catholics. So in Ireland, those, which was the majority, were Catholic. And then all of a sudden, you know, who's your boss? Is it the Pope? Is it the Queen? You know, ouch quit it, ah, screw you guys, we separated. You got Northern Ireland, Belfast, I think, was in Northern Ireland. And you go, all right, that's with you guys, and we got our own Republic of. So they kind of, they broke free. They got their own parliament. How free are you from England? Is it a total, you don't get any, nothing, no court, no nothing? How broken from United Kingdom are you, Barry?
Completely. I suppose the same difference between America and Mexico. They have their own institutions and parliament and laws.
Now, when you guys went to European Union, I think you guys voted no a couple of times, didn't you?
They voted to join in the 70s, but the Lisbon Treaty, we had to go back and vote again, like keep voting till you give us the answer we want, which was a bit of a scam. But look, they conned the people.
So eventually they said this year total says, I remember they were taking the ballots back to Brussels to count or some crap, you know, and the whole process was suspect to begin with, in my opinion. But, you know, eventually the people accepted, we freed ourselves from the British crown and now we're going to the European Union and, you know, enslave ourselves there.
Yeah, it's interesting watching the whole thing now at the minute. Like, will the European Union survive much longer? Like, the British, the UK have left, which has severely weakened it. And they're doing the way I see it, the EU are doing their best now to try and make an example of them with the trade terms and things to disincentivize any other country wanting to get out. So it's quite interesting just watching it. But the coronavirus thing, and the shutting down of China, like we're starting to see the effects here now of financially because of the products. Like a lot of the, Ireland is a small country, 5 million people, so a lot of stuff is imported. Like we don't make cars here, no real plastics made here. You know, a a lot of stuff has to be brought in for us to make, even packaging on the food, for example, Irish ham or meat or anything else has a wrapper of some sort on it. I'm sure the wrapper is more than likely made in China. Now, all the ships that would have been leaving China after Christmas obviously didn't leave because they were shut down. So we're starting to see a knock-on effect now, and probably more so next couple of weeks and the following months, of stock running out of all kind of essential supplies.
That's one of the things. It's always, buy local, manufacture local, be self-sufficient, yada, yada, yada. And I'm wondering, is there a spirit there in Ireland, or they're just all going to be on their knees on a beach waiting for some ship to come in? I mean, what is the mentality of the people?
Well, the mentality of the people, I suppose, they're completely unaware. They have no clue what's going on that front, because not many people would follow it. But the warning signs are there. Ireland always produced a lot of food. So there'd be no reason for anyone to go hungry here. And there was no reason for anyone to go hungry here during the famine either, back to our so-called famine in the 1800s, because most of the food was exported at gunpoint to the UK. I suppose it's unlikely that could happen again, or I suppose it could, because we don't really have an army and no one has guns here, not even the police, or the Gardaí as they're called. So it's a very easy country to invade. But it's like simple things like the supermarket. A lot of the shelves would be, even though it might be a local Irish product, the packaging of it would have come from elsewhere, China or Europe or somewhere else. And if all these trade links are being disrupted and broken by the, I would say, the shutdown in China, it's going to have a knock-on effect all around the world, and will, I think, have a serious effect on Ireland.
Well, is it going to result in you guys having more manufacturing there? Is it conducive to that? Do people want to move manufacturing?
Oh, long term, yeah, but where are you going to get the... You have to tool up to build a manufacturing plant. Where are you going to get the equipment from? Let's say argument's sake, you're going you're going to need equipment and machines to make it. It could be from Germany, we'll say the machines, but the parts, the little motors and things in it were probably components coming from China. Now, the German company can't get the parts to make the machine, so they can't sell it. So their business model is put on hold. Yet they will still have interest and tax and loan payments and employees to pay, and yet they can't sell the product of the machine. And the tooling company in Ireland to manufacture this stuff can't get the machine to even set up. But that has a knock-on effect in the next scenario. But that employee then is not getting paid for, can't afford his rent. So the landlord isn't getting paid. The landlord can't pay the mortgage, so the bank gets. You see the snowball effect that the little shutdown in China can have. Anywhere on the planet, that can happen. So I think that economic impact of it is going to be massive and won't be seen probably for weeks or months yet. But America, I suppose, is so big that you do manufacture and are self-sufficient in a way for most products, not all, but most, and it will take time to retool and make all your computers back there rather than in
Ireland. Your way I'm hearing it is that you really have no manufacturing infrastructure. You import everything except what, tourism and food.
Tourism and food, and pharmaceuticals that are those manufacturing plants here. But we'll say, I suppose, the cost of production in Ireland became too high and couldn't compete with the likes of China. Like, there would have been huge clothing industries here all over the country. And at one stage, Ireland would have been sort of famous for it. But all that went to Asia, kind of from the 1980s on. shut down all that manufacturing. So Ireland doesn't really produce much stuff, bar the food. So it's a very open economy, as in a lot of stuff comes into the country.
Well, you know, here in America, there is just the idea of self-sufficiency may not be like the, you know, vast majority of anybody, but it's not like a big surprise to anybody. You know, it's a doomsday prepper kind of mentality they tried to make fun of. But, you know, there's a lot of it's like they're going, oh, wars and all this kind of stuff. I go, do you guys know that there are just hunting licenses in America is more than all the world's armies combined, and they're all snipers. So I'm going, I'm not worried about that. You know, what I am worried about is the attitude. And the attitude is that self-sufficient, they can go hunt. They get their own food, or they, you know how to live out camping. They can sustain themselves. They, you know they got their med kit. They got, you know, some skills. Somebody can do an IV. They can, you know, get oxygen for whatever the hell and stay out of the need of the hospitals. So I see that, yeah, we don't want to overrun the system, whatever the hell that is, but I'm not counting on it. And I'm wondering, in Ireland, you know, they had this independent streak in them for so long, but they just, in a generation, they've been lulled into whatever's coming on a Chinese shipping container. Is there going to be, when things get bad, when the corona hits or there's some strife or whatever, or the economy takes a dump, are they going to survive? Are they going to riot? Are they going to starve to death? You know, what's going to happen in Ireland, Barry?
Who knows? But if it does get bad here and a lot of people get infected, the hospital system, it's already broken and beyond capacity, I suppose, or so badly run is probably a better way of putting it. It cannot cope as it is.
Okay,
so if you get a lot of people getting sick, a lot of people getting sick and trying to get into a hospital or a doctor, I mean, you're going to be out of luck. I wouldn't like to be dependent on.
So, well, what are you doing? I mean, do you have like a doctor friend? You got a place you can go? You're going to travel America? You're going to, try a better immune system, suck it up, don't care, wait and see what happens? You know, you got 2 months worth of food, or you know somebody that you're going to go rob it from them? I mean, what? You know, what's your plan?
I suppose, like, you have enough food to keep you going for a while, for sure. I mean, that's always a prudent thing to do. A friend, a doctor there, you know, you have neighbors and friends and family, I suppose, nearby. I suppose one good thing about Ireland, especially more so outside the cities, is there is a kind of community aspect to it. Like, people know each other and help each other out in general. But if you put the coronavirus in it, where it kind of interaction between people is going to be worrisome, or people won't want to interact in any way for fear, I suppose, that puts a whole new dimension on it. So how it'll play out, who knows? For certain, it will crash the economy here, no doubt about that. As probably is taking a hit everywhere else already. I was just looking at the Dow there. It took its biggest drop in points ever, I think. It was over 1,000 points there in one day. You have even the cryptocurrencies are down. So it's... Where do you run to? I think financially, there's no safe place apart from gold and silver, maybe hard assets, food, things like that. Medically, having a strong immune system is always going to be key. I don't quite understand the impacts of the medical side of this coronavirus. I didn't hear fully the interview of the previous guest, who's much up on it, but it's going to be a bad flu, it sounds like. is going to get everywhere across the planet sooner or later. So we're either going to become immune to it or have tolerance for it, or it's going to kill a lot of us. I don't know. What do you think?
I think they don't care. You know, the big thing, you know, they'll be fine, or, you know, as long as their constituents, they look like they're doing something and whatever, and it doesn't, you know, they don't care. You know, it's how do they take this crisis and put it the best use for them. So where you have the social credit score, who said this about that, and you have the surveillance of everybody in China, they're going to take all this information and data and who were good little slaves and who wasn't. And in America, you know, it's the same kind of thing. It's this vaccine thing. It's like we're doing this Liberty Bus, Love Bus thing. Because I'm going, look, they do what they always do. You know, when everybody know why they need us, and then they take more freedom and more resources, and you don't get any promised goodies for it. And that's why I was interested in Ireland. What's the promises? When you have a politician get up there and he was going to go to the European Union, or you got your own local parliament, and he says, pick me because what? And I'm going, who's the guy that's saying freedom? Who's the guy that's saying you should be able and allowed and encouraged and, you know, left alone to take care of yourselves, to produce yourself from your desktop publishing to, you know, workshop, you know, industry of I did and I don't got somebody saying you got the wrong form or you didn't pay enough permit or you got, you know, if you were able to manufacture and be free to do what you wanted, I know the Irish people would kick ass because that's their heritage. And I'm going, you know, who's the politician? Who's the community leader that's, you know, saying that? Is there anybody?
No. Not
well, Barry, you just met your calling, man.
not on a large scale. You know, anyone who kind of goes against the grain of the main parties, I suppose, here gets victimized and
eliminated. Of course they do, until they don't. I mean, you know, it's just a general public opinion thing. You know, it's a time. You know, I'm telling you, Barry, you know, after 30 years, it's only now that I'm, you know, really starting to see the optimism, you know, what I was looking for. You know, I knew it was going to happen up to like 2016. You know, it's like I go, when our kids get to be our age at the time when they were little and we were like 28, I go, when they're about our age now, when we first started this, it's not going to be the same country. I'm just hoping our grandkids, you know, go through the troubles or whatever and come out the other end being freer instead of being big brother and freaking plugged in brave new world matrix crap, you know? So I see that happening here. It's starting to shift and it's going to, and is it going to be all of a sudden all the freedom oriented people are going to be in charge of government? No, they don't care. You know, it's like, keep your crumbling marble monuments. I don't give a crap. That's not the point. It's an attitude, a general public opinion that the people that will take care of it ourselves, and it starts with somebody advocating it. And it's, you know, we get that a lot, and, you know, like the Ron Paul evolution is an example, and whatever hell else is going on. But in Ireland, I'm going, with that kind of heritage and that kind of, you know, phraseology and heroes and news and past events and articles and even documentaries and movies or whatever about Ireland. And when somebody gets up and says, you know what, we cast off one master for another one, you know, I you know, do it, don't care, but we need to start taking care of ourselves. Here's a little meetup or town things on, you know, how to take care of ourselves with oxygen masks and freaking know how to put in an IV bag. You know, we're going to have food for people that need it, or we're going to be taking meals to people that are sick. We have to start taking care of ourselves, because when this hits, we are not going to be taken care of. We're not now, and it hadn't even hit us yet. So whoever does that and starts doing this self-reliance thing, if even for just this disease or this virus or whatever, that will be embraced, I think, enormously, because nobody else is doing it. And I, first off, I'm like, why? And, you know, and like you say, they browbeat you down. You're not doing it right. And you're practicing medicine without a license because you gave somebody an aspirin. And you, I get it. I just want them to say it. Do it. Say we can't take care of ourselves. Say we can't meet. Say we can't. Oh, see, you're spreading the disease because you had a town hall meeting about the disease. I'm like, God, you guys are killing me. And I'm telling you, Barry, that one person that gets up and does, and then it's always the second guy. And you can be the second guy because it's the guy that gets up and starts dancing and saying, woohoo, but it ain't cool until the second guy comes up and starts supporting him. Then the third guy, and then it explodes. But the first guy, usually shot. But you know the thing, but you know, it's the second guy. And if you can find somebody out there that's doing this kind of, and if they're worthy and not a jerk, you know, you, hey man, you know, what can I do to help you amplify your voice? Here's $20. And you just inspire him. So I'm encouraging you to find that guy. You know, if you don't want to be that guy, find him. There's somebody out. God, you're going to make me freaking do it. I'm going to sit here on the internet and do it because you're killing me. All right. So I go.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah. But I see, do you believe the government will actually survive, I suppose it would be an onslaught of the coronavirus and a financial crash at the one time. I don't think the state will actually survive.
Well, all the more reason to have, you know, someone given the intellectual argument for them not to worry about whether they survive or not. Screw the state. Everybody wants to save the ship of state. You know, here's this Titanic, hits an iceberg, and everybody's over there trying to save the ship, and they let all the people drown. I'm like, fuck the ship. I don't care about the ship. You know, I go save the people. Well, you're the save the people guy. Hey, man. Yeah, whatever. The ship's over the you want, go try and plug up the ship. Go donate your tax money for plugging up the ship hole. You know, you go over there. But we're over here. Man, we got a little raft here, okay? We tore all the doors off and lashed them together, and we're fine. You know, we're over here. You know? So
yeah, the silver lining of, I suppose, a financial crash or the coronavirus or whatever you want, it will localize all business and make it a local economy again, where people will trade and interact on a much more local level. And that will build the community spirit, we'll call it, or...
Yeah, I don't even fight them. I don't even ignore the guy. Screw them. You know, it's just, well, look, who's got what? Who has a backhoe for digging the mass graves we need? I mean, you know, that you, okay, well, you're the guy. You know, I mean, something.
Yeah, look, I think it will be, like, the current system is obsolete. If you take all these new developments in the crypto space for governance and interacting and new markets of all types, like the current system is obsolete in so many ways, not just financial, but in every way it can be done much better. And I think it will become completely decentralized, where you might have more like in, I suppose, in ancient times, where you had city states as such, where it will be governed on a much more local level, and more so by the people, or whoever survives.
Well, I'm looking for the survival of a philosophy, and if you can demonstrate, the ideology of we take care of ourselves. Well, of course, that'll manifest into, some politicians wanting to go to your thing and kind of, yeah, I'm with you, and kind of, yeah, whatever, you know. It's like the Second Amendment here. You know, the Second Amendment, they're not counting on a permission slip. You know, they don't care. You know, they'll have thousands of people show up with their rifles in front of the Virginia legislature going, really? You guys want to do this? You know? And of course, they will, and it'll just be a pushback. But you don't have to confront them. You just create a group and everybody, a parade, and all these politicians want to run and jump in front of your parade you created. I mean, that happens all the time. So I'm looking at the IrishCentral.com, and it has stuff on the politics here, and this party does that, and that party does that, and the party. I wouldn't even worry about these guys.
I think they'll be obsolete.
Yeah, I just, you know, meet up of, you know, when this comes, you know, what do we need to do? It's just like I had James Lyons-Weiler on, you know, here's some web pages, here's some stuff. We need to take care of this ourselves. We already know the government can't, won't, haven't been able to take care of us when we're just sitting here normal. You think we have some pandemic and they're going to do us any good? We have to decide we can take care of it ourselves. Who, where, what room do we have? Do we have a abandoned warehouse? Do we have a school? Do we have a local government saying, okay, go set up beds over here? Or we're going to have flowing clean water of whatever and IVs and people trained and teaching them how to do phlebotomy, how to give an IV or you know, something. You know, just even discussing it or having a group on, we know that they're not going to take, they're not going to take care of this guy. And I, what am I going to do about it? Not a damn thing. I'm just here to say we need to do something, you know, ourselves and know what resources we have, or, you know, we can take care of ourselves because they're not going to. And I'm interested in what, there's going to be somebody who's going to do that. But there's guaranteed there's going to be somebody bitching like Pelosi does. Trump's not spending enough money on it. Of course, they're not doing anything, but they're just bitching about the government. And I want somebody that I will pimp the crap out of them, give them an example of how great and wonderful they are when they're the ones saying, look, we need to take care of ourselves. Well, this is what I do on the show here. That's why I have all these guys. What do I need to do to take care of myself? What skills do I need? What medicine do I got to have? What stock up of natural whatever the hell do I need to do? Let's do that now before it's too late. I didn't focus on the gloves and mask crap because I'm like, you're not going to be able to avoid this. You just need to have a strong immune system. I'd rather take the money for the mask and buy more, you know, elderberry or something. So, you know, and he's going, yeah, that's not really the problem. Yeah, everybody's going to be exposed to it. But if we have it all at one time, that hockey stick is going to be everybody in the emergency room and they don't have enough room for them. I'm going, well, guess what? Republican Ireland don't have any room for them now, and it ain't even there yet. So I'm going, you know, so that is not going to be the solution, is how much you can drag this out. That's going to be, well, let's go ahead and take proactive and kind of, you know, keep it from, you know, exploding all at once. You know, it's better not, but prepare for us taking care of ourselves. And it just segues into so much about all the other things government doesn't do well, and they're not there to help, and they're ineffective, and yada, yada, yada. And you get this great example, and people, I just see this is such an opportunity, you know, for freedom to demonstrate its effectiveness. And I'm just going, there, I guarantee, Barry, there's somebody in Ireland that's not batshit crazy that's saying the same stuff. And I want to know who that is and ask you to give him $20.
I'll see if I can find him.
You find him, I'm all over it. You know, you give me some good people to interview before. So, you know, you keep doing that for me, man. Come on.
Yeah, no problem. No, I agree with you. People in general become very resourceful and inventive when they meet necessity. And something like this kind of, be it, the coronavirus or the financial crash.
It's all representative. It's just a good example of why you need to do it.
Yeah, it's going to make things more local and make people more resilient, because they'll have to. They won't have a choice. They can bitch and moan about the state or the government or whoever they want, but it's still not going to feed themselves. So they will have to become resourceful.
Yeah, I don't want them to be. They'd be resourceful. They'd be violent. You know, a lot of guys, they just take, and then it's black market, and I stole this, and you want some, and you pay me extra for the stuff I stole. You know, that's going to happen. I mean, that's usually what happens. So, you know, people got to defend their stuff, get stuff, but it's not going to do them any good if they don't have anything to defend, you know, and nothing to defend it with. I'm not looking forward, you know, to what's going to happen in a lot of places around the world. Even America will have issues, but we are so much more resilient when compared to a lot of the other places. You know, we have the ability to defend ourselves, the wealth and access to goodies to kind of stock up. We've had enough fear in us. You know, I got, you know, years worth of, you know, food and staples and beans and rice and whatever the crap, you know, over the airtime. They scare me or piss me off, I go buy another 50 pound bag of pinto beans, you know, or rice or something, because he just pissed me off. And that's the only thing that I know. Ha ha, I got another month of kiss my ass, so bite me. So this is, I'm looking, if you, not that guy, which, you know, I don't want to put this on you, but I'm telling you, if you just take a look, who is advocating self-sufficiency? Where's that group? What is the, okay, Republic of Ireland, what would I put in? Preppers? Freedom activists didn't give me much. I go preppers. That'd be a good place to start. Republic of Ireland, Doomsday Prepper Forums. Ireland's Preppers and Survivalists. There you go. All right. Let me just see if we can, you know, buy somebody something. We're really only 9 meals removed from total anarchy. Ireland preppers and survivalists. Brexit preppers in the UK have been stockpiling canned goods and other supplies ahead of the expected 29 March exit date. Okay, so this is, you know, the Northern Ireland, I guess, doing this. Now, that'd be a good thing. You'd be buddies. We all survive. Now, you know, that'd be brother to brother. The Northern and Southern Ireland come together to not die. You know, boom, you win. So I'd start there. You know, the survivalists, preppers, whatever, and just kind of, you know, don't go joining a whole bunch of crap or anything, better than that. But meet with some people, find out where they're overlap, kind of, you know, any kind of just a little bit of self-sufficiency and the stuff, and you're there to help. And then all of a sudden, all the stuff that you want to talk about, you know, property rights and the banks and all that kind of stuff, you can see the problem with this is that all of a sudden you got an audience and you're elected, you know, prime minister or something the next week.
Yeah, I don't think that would be my career choice.
Probably not.
But we'll find a guy.
But you see my point, you know?
All we need is a front man.
Well, just support the front guy. A lot of the times, you know, I look for people to help on something I want. I help them. I go, yeah, you know, here, come on the show. Here's a little bit of something. Everybody give money, whatever. I would be very interested in that, Barry. You know, just you make a little effort. Who's the guy or gal? A lot of times it's a woman or kid, you know. Who is the person that is advocating for us to be not looking for permission to survive, to take care of yourself? Well, Ireland survivalist. I mean, maybe them. Okay. Well, at least you'll find another Barry and Emma in there. You know, hopefully out of 100 people, there's a couple that aren't batshit crazy, you know, and they're doing it for the right reason. And then you kind of call off from that and you start a little bit and you make a new friend. You have a town meetup, and within a month, all of a sudden, you're in the paper and everybody's freaking out that you guys are got a freedom gene that's arriving, you know, and surviving out of this corona. Oh, my God, they're learning shit, you know, something. I'm telling you, man, that's how it happens. I see it over and over and over. It's somebody like Barry making a phone call, going to a thing, and kind of get a beat on what's up, and then it encourages them and inspires them. A lot of the shows that I do for a lot of these, like Language of Liberty and these kids that do internships here from the Arizona Project, you know, from around the world, just by them coming in and telling their story and having an MP3 of a show that they can share with people, or they have an idea or what they learned or something, is just over the years is exploding all over the world. And it's from efforts just like this. I already know what happens. So give me somebody to talk to again. And it's good. And the last time I talked to someone you had, you know, they were all inspired by America and this Trump thing. I mean, they were like, oh my God, you know, somebody went up against the deep state. Well, hell, we can do that. And I'm like, all right. You know, and this is a really good example. And it's also a vector and a mechanism for you to get all of the stuff that you're working on into their minds that you know they need to know.
Mm. Yeah, no, you're making good points there, all right. Sure.
And it's a phone call. I'm sitting here looking at it. I just did a search on your thing. You know, Irish or Republic of Ireland, you know, preppers, survivals, that'd be a good place to start. Or self-sufficient, we do our own brain surgeries on ourselves for chickens. I mean, whatever. Anybody that's doing their own stuff, especially the health thing, I guarantee these guys are talking about this corona thing and they're already, doing something. If you come in not looking for help but inability to help, all of a sudden you're in front of the class and you can't go to the bathroom because then you'll get elected to something.
Yeah.
No, you think I'm kidding.
No, I see your points. I certainly do.
No, it happens all the time here. You go to some libertarian thing, you show up and you brush your teeth and you took a bath and you dress nice and you iron your shirt. You go to the bathroom, you come back and you're ahead of something. I'm telling you, I already know how this goes. So what are you doing day to day? What's keeping you busy?
Working away, just trying to keep the little business alive. It's this time of year would be sort of quiet for us, but hopefully a bit of work will come in, keep us going. But it's the same every year. We keep going. I suppose from a financial point of view, with this coronavirus hitting, if the country shuts down, being self-employed, like most self-employed people, you still have all the expenses. And no income. If there's no shop open, there's no sales.
Well, how many employees or contractors do you have?
There's only four of us there now.
Okay, you start with that four. You wanted to make sure you guys don't die.
Of course. I don't know. Maybe this whole thing has been blown out of proportion.
Of course it has been. But it's a great... It's like Rahm Emanuel, Obama's guy, became mayor of Chicago. And he's like, you never let a good opportunity go to waste. And I'm like, this is a really neon... Because what do people know? Just from you telling me, they know that the healthcare system is taxed already. They already know that. You add even a little bit of they got sick, or it's just a regular flu, or they're scared and they go, I think I'm sick. Boom. The whole thing is going to happen. You know it. And if it's going to do that, you need to calm their fears. You go, not add to it. You say, look, this is coming. What can we do? Who is advocating that we take care of ourselves? Because we already know that the system's not. We know that. We see that. If we don't take care of it ourselves, we're just going to be begging out there, dying in the streets, and Monty Python's going to come with the bring out your dead cart. I'm like, come on, bring out your dead. I mean, it's going to happen. So if you take this in a positive way, I guarantee it's going to be a refreshing look. Oh my God, thank you. And we just had a meeting and they're going, and then it's not, then they, of course, there's a infiltrators and the government and, the instigators and all this, they're wanting to cause problems come in. Yeah. But what about in the coolers and the trolls? And they all whine and bitch and try and turn it into a thing. They want to be in charge of something. No. You break up into, you're just your family. We're just a resource of information. We're not going to be a block of influence or vote or any of that bullshit. We're just here to learn how to take care of ourselves and our family and maybe, share a oxygen generator or a backhoe or a freaking bed or something. It's just information and you're getting off your butt. It will self-organize spontaneously. But if you try to create an organization, or if somebody wants to have, a list of meeting of we're going in and the chairman and the secretary of treasury of we got and join our whatever the hell, the second you start doing that, then it just, it's downhill from there.
Here's a question for you. It's something crossed my mind. I suppose, as you said, an opportunity for them to get rid of cash completely. I think that would be one of the main items on their agenda.
We talked about that very thing. When they started disinfecting the cash in China, I go, I didn't even do it. It was a friend of mine. I think it was Bob. He goes, you know what they're going to do. They're going to say that filthy, stinky, diseased money's got to go. We got to go digital so you don't die. And I'm going, oh, I didn't think of that. If they can, they will. I'm telling you, you're on board. I think you're right. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a high that'll be the excuse, you know. You can't, don't, no one, they'll scare everybody into saying don't take cash, and that'll be their way of eliminating it. So then what do you do? How do you protect yourself when they're printing all this money? Or it's not even money, it's only
silver
currency.
I had Doug Casey on yesterday, and his whole thing is gold, gold, precious metals, gold, and some precious metals, and a lot of gold. He's going, look, this is, whatever, gold, done, next. You know, and the solution is gold.
If it's, if they have this coronavirus, we say to get rid of all the cash, now everything is digital, they can put up their negative, go down with their negative interest rates, I suppose is the way of putting it.
And they're going to do their social credit score if you're not allowed to, you know?
Exactly.
You know, I'm telling you, it's whoever that guy or gal or kid that comes out and says, Irishman, you know, become men again. Put down that soy milk. Get your ass over here and man up, you know? We need a John Wayne movie with whatever her name was. What was that? What was that called? The Irishman.
The Quiet Man, was it?
Yeah, Quiet Man. Quiet Man. Yeah. I remember reading the book when I was a kid, you know, or the story or something for school, and then they had the movie, and I'm going, oh, John Wayne, that's the Irish to me. You know, it's been this strong family woman. It's always the woman who's going to kick somebody's ass if you don't get on board. And they're beating that out of you guys by doing this, by demonstrating.
Are the women in America not like that? Sorry, Jim.
If you're a redheaded woman, Irish, the mythology here is that, you know, you win. You know, just right. Just you win. Don't even fight it, man. And you know, my sister's redheaded, so I know. But yeah. Kilpatrick. Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, you know, my grandmother's and my sister. I said it. You know, I thought it was Kirkpatrick. She goes, no, it's not. It's Kilpatrick. You got it wrong. You know, and I'm going, all right, whatever. I can't even remember which one's right now. But the I'm optimistic for you. I think you make a couple of phone calls today or tomorrow, all of a sudden you're going to go, damn, I did not see that. There is somebody, something just even having. Yeah, I think it's already underway. I can't imagine there's not, you know, people out there saying we got to take care of ourselves because we know we have to.
Oh, there surely is. And I'd be an advocate of that for sure. People, you know, you only have to go back maybe a generation. Like my grandparents, most of their food was in the garden or on the hoof, as they say. Like everyone had a few cows, a pig, a few sheep. Like they all had a few animals and grew all their own vegetables. You know, they were very resilient from that point of view because they had to be. They had no choice.
If I have a piece of land, I get 10 acres. And I go, all right, one, am I allowed to buy 10 acres?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I get 10 acres. I want to build something on. I said, you know what? I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to do a geodesic dome with a, you know, freaking mud, and I'm going to spray on, and it take me a weekend, and me and my family's got 1,500 square feet under roof and dry, and I put in a compost toilet or I just built something. Are you allowed to do that on your land?
No, you have to go beg to the local authority.
Yeah, see, they're preventing the ability to survive. They're preventing the. You have to go into the Crown's housing of proper toilet, whatever the hell, and pay the. You're not allowed to make, but something. If you just leave people alone. See, this is what. If it pleases the Crown, am I allowed to occupy my own land? And if you don't have a crown there in the Republic of Ireland, well, then quit acting like one. So if you do, especially in Republic of Ireland, if you go, if it pleases the crown, may I occupy my own land? If you, or whatever's equivalent of that. And if you do that, they'll go, hey, we're not a crown. Well, quit acting like one. What, it's my land or it's not? I can survive. I can build. I can, you know, be under shelter. I can, or I can't, or I got to ask you permission. Yeah, but you got to ask for permission because of Brussels. Well, F Brussels then. You know, I just see, you start asking the right questions and people go, yeah, that question, especially when they're dying because they can't take care of themselves.
Yeah, very valid point. And it's, I suppose, the name changed over the door from the crown here to the state.
Right. You just call them the crown. That's why in Pirates, everybody's the crown. The crown this, the crown that, the crown, the crown, the crown. Well, we're not a crown, really? I didn't sure act like it, you know. Tell me the difference, you know. What's that?
Yeah.
Do you think you could? I'd like to hear back from you because we're going to be hitting the road in May, and I'd like to, you know, talk as we're doing this. You know, it kind of parallel around the world. We got a lot of contacts around the world that I just want to watch this. You know, we're running through the same thing. You know, we're having, it's a mindset. That's what I'm attacking.
It's global. Like what you face in America, it's just the very same here, just different names over the door, and in any other country, I suppose too. Well, then you have the likes of China, where it's very authoritarian. I wouldn't like to be living there now. Would you?
No. And I don't see the advantage to anybody. I don't know. You know, I hear a lot of places say, yeah, China did the right thing, and they gave us a lot of time to get ready, because if they wouldn't have done this and we wouldn't have shut down, it'd be all over and done anyway. And I'm going, but that's not the core problem. The core problem is that there's always going to be something like this, and sooner or later it is going to break out. And our problem is not that you have these problems. It's our capacity to deal with these problems. And you don't have a central capacity to make decisions for 300 and something million people. You need the 300 and something million people to be able to access resources locally or in their freaking basement. And I'm going, that is the problem. It's an attitude of thinking that there's some central solution to this. And when you have a country like Ireland that went through generations of getting free of the crown, and then they went and joined another crown, and I'm going, what the hell was that? You know, and you're just addressing that under these circumstances and just asking a question, going, look, I build my own thing. I know you're not allowed. You have to die. Oh, okay. Well, as long as you wrote it down and put a stamp on this paper and you got it notarized or something. I mean, what? It's just the right question at the right time. And I think now's a good time.
Yeah, like, I agree with you. And something I've been thinking about is that this whole coronavirus thing, along with the huge money printing that they're going to try to save the economy, is going to basically make your euro or your dollar or yen or whatever it is absolutely worthless. And all they're going to do is print more to try and fix it. It's going to be Zimbabwe. So at that point, when people who rely on the state, as in all the state employees, and there's a large portion of the population of Ireland is a state employee, or it kind of depends on the state for their contracts or whatever that they're working on. And when that money is now worthless and their wages are not being paid, the state will fall apart, essentially. All these politicians and promise makers are going to be completely irrelevant, because people are going to have to adjust and either work with another currency or a crypto or do something, even trade in their own, make their own script currency to interact. It could be the best thing that ever happened from a freedom point of view. Now, it will be messy and it will hurt, but who knows? It could be the silver lining. But I can't see it being an uneventful year, this 2020.
2020. 2020. What did I say? What did I say? 2020 is the year. For what? I don't know, but it's the damn year for it, you know?
Yeah, and look, you have a big election coming up. The end of the year is certainly going to be interesting, but it could be irrelevant by then, too.
Yeah, I ain't got a lie. I don't give a crap. whatever.
Yeah.
I go with Dr. Frank, and I need somebody to help me vote. So I just go in with Dr. Frank. I go, here, you can help me vote. Here, help me. There you go. We're done. Okay, can we leave? So I do. I go, you go, yeah, it's wasted. You need to vote. I go, well, I think, you know, if I'm, you know, claim I need help voting, you can come. Well, let's go down. We went down. I go, I need his help in voting. They go, okay. So I just put him there, and I just like, no, whatever, you know. So I don't want to give any credence to this crap. I'm so done. But it's interesting to see the news and what's happening. And the left is really, you know, this Bernie Sanders thing, the Democrats and the progressives, they've taken over. We got major issues here in America. The only difference is that the very thing that I'm talking about with you, there is a group of people that want to be self-reliant, that want, and a lot of them, if they vote, you know, have been voting against the socialist, and that's how Trump got in. It wasn't so much Trump. Trump was a side effect. And I'm going, will that side effect, you know, manifest itself again, or will they get every freaking immigrant and a felon from jail of whatever vote of the out of the graveyard of we made up, you know, because there's a lot of in, you know, big counties, big jurisdictions, California, New York, all these places, they got more votes than they have registered voters, more registered voters than they got people. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And then what, you know? So I can't put any reliance on the system. I know better. I'm just not going to lie to myself and my audience. But the thing is that it's the people that are overwhelming the election fraud, or it doesn't matter. And I think it's to the point to where it doesn't matter, because when they're going to need government services, it's not going to be there, because they've wasted the money and so many other things. They never put it into what, even, you know, who'll build the roads? Well, they have all this road tax and everything, and then they spend the money on everything else but the roads, and they wonder why they got potholes, you know. So I just, this is, it's such a repudiation is coming of government in general. And the only time that authoritarians or the authorized do their job is when everybody, including themselves, know that they're irrelevant, know that they're bad, know that they have no credibility. That's called authoritarian sociopathy. That was Davi's, you know, book that he wrote. And the whole thing is the only time when they act like what they're supposed to is when everybody knows that they have no credibility. So they try to get credibility by doing their job. That's the only way that they can be justifying their existence, that they're even there, is when they go and do their job. Until then, they don't care. They don't have to. So now, when it all of a sudden, when everybody goes, you guys suck, oh, woohoo, well, we're doing our job now, and what parade you got for us to jump in front of and be for freedom and stuff. And I'm going, you know, I'm so sick of this. So I already know what's going to happen, but when it really, the best thing that happens is when people advocate for amongst themselves and to themselves that they need to take care of themselves and their family, and they can't count on the government. So they need to start stockpiling the things that, you know, the government is restricting them from, like IV bags, like, you know, rooms, or, you know, hospital beds, or being able to, you know, something, you know, I get 7,000. So I'm, excuse me just a second.
I'm going to be buying some crypto. All right, we'll get 9 then.
All right, well, then get 9 then. You know, Donna's got to go to the bank, and we need to get some money. We got a big moving trailer that we were buying, because the shipping containers I was going to use for storage, when you fill them up with stuff, they don't like moving them then. And I'm going, I didn't think of that. And a friend of mine goes, hey, you know these big moving vans like Mayflower, you know, they move your house and they got, you know, a bunch of doors on the sides and the back and then the little strapping things to lock everything in and undercarry. I go, that's a good idea. Let's get one of those. So the guy wants cash. Hey, wire it? Nope. No banks. Well, silver? Nope. Crypto? Nope. I want green money cash. All right. So go to the bank. Can I get it? How much do I get over so much? And they go, I don't know, man. We got to report you to the man for that one. Oh, you got, well, we're not sure. It's your money. You just can't have it now. Okay? You know,
some joke.
Pardon me?
That's some joke. The banks have just become an absolute nightmare to deal with. And I can see this whole derivatives thing and the downfall of China from Wuhan thing and the virus. The derivatives is going to crash every bank on the planet. Like, we're going to wake up one morning and no one's ATM is going to work.
And they think that by printing a bunch more, just adding a quantitative easing of money printing of whatever the hell they want to call it this week, the repo market, all this other crap, when they do this, they think that they can pump in a little bit and it's going to do it. Oh, we'll do $200 billion. No. Oh, we'll do a trillion. Oh, we're I go, you don't have enough money to fix this. It's not going, you can't. It's a tsunami that will overwhelm everything. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think just a thought for you, all these politicians and the likes, once the money is removed from it, or the money that they're getting paid by the state is worthless, they're going to run for the hills and disappear. You won't see them ever in the front of the parade again. It'll be a whole new generation or type of a person who wants to change things. The money motivation won't be there anymore.
What do you mean? They'll be more principled or not, or lie, or what?
I guess to be more principled, because to be doing it not for the money.
Yeah.
Did you see my point?
Yeah. That, no, like, it goes in cycle. I'd hope that a lot of the best people don't go into politics and, you know, screw up their brain. You know, I just do it. Just advocate more. See, if somebody came and there are some libertarian candidates that are doing this very thing, but if they were to advocate for local control, I mean, as a philosophy, that if you, like, New Hampshire has 300, 400 something legislators for a little state. And the reason is because each House representatives represents only like 3,000 people. You know, I mean, you know the guy. You see him at the grocery store. You know, the guy,
yeah.
you go key his car or something. I mean, you know, it's
that eliminates a lot of corruption.
I think so.
They won't get away with it because they have to live with the people that they're representing.
But then they got their Senate, which is only, I don't know, 20 people or something. So all the power really is there. That's where all the lobbying is done. You know, what does and doesn't get passed. And then, of course, the governor. So every system has its way to get gamed and who does and what and everything, and they've been doing okay. They don't like the session going into the summer, so they wanted, you know, because they go, hey, man, we need, you know, more comfortable, we need more air conditioning in the house building in the summer because it's hot. And they go, no, you can be done by then. We get you air conditioning, you'll stay. Yeah, so no. So, you know, it's just that mindset. And I'm looking at, there is going to be a lot of big changes this year. And I think Ireland, in my perspective, from my life, growing up hearing about the IRA all the time, and Michael Collins, and the troubles, and the persecution, and the bigotry, and the crown, and other, and for them to finally free themselves, and then it was kind of done in a little bit, kind of, you know, compromisey way of different things, but to finally free themselves, then go jump right back into the frying pan or the fire, you know, with the European Union, and then be in the circumstances that you are. You know, it seems like an opportunity to go, look, man, this is not working. This whole concept of, you know, they, them, those is, and certainly in Brussels. And, you know, and we'll talk about that later. But I tell you what, let's bypass all this crap and make sure we don't die. Let's make sure we take care of ourselves. Make sure we have our own supply lines. We understand how to use crypto. We know how to use silver. We know that we got, you know, exchanges of people, a private, a bite me. And then, but it has to be decentralized and nobody in charge, because that's where they come and kick in your door and haul you away.
Yeah. Decentralization is key, isn't it?
I think so. And go all pirate, man. I'll send you a gazillion pirate books if you need them. But You know, just you have somebody that's there that they know they're going to have to take care of themselves. And a lot of them are going to be medical professionals. Like, I know how to give an IV. Okay, well, does that – because I'm going, what are they doing in the hospital? What are they doing that I can't do? It's the IV. Oxygen is a big thing because the pneumonia part of it, it shuts down your capacity, your drowning of your lungs to get air. So that's why you have organ failures, because you're not getting enough oxygen. So if you have little oxygen tanks, or the oxygen, you know, it just makes oxygen from water or something, you know, you just have these $300 machines or whatever for people. I don't know what, you know, you need to do, but I'd look at it. You know, you can do an IV, you do oxygen, and then the other thing is antivirals. You know, James was going on about antivirals a lot. Okay, what the hell's that? Where do I get that? How do I do that? You know, what frog I got to lick? I mean, you know, it's, you know, show me. And you learn that, and you go, no, we're not afraid. That is what pisses off the man more, that you need to know why they need us. They're going to try and make you afraid. They're going to spend more time talking about the people that aren't afraid than they are about what they need to be doing to not be afraid. So I'm going, this is, you do that, and when you go, no, we're not against it. They're just not going to be able to take care of it. We're going to take care of ourselves. We're here to help. We're here to help. We're free aid. We're here to help. We're for, you know, a healthy generation next to blah, 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 blah. We're here to help. We're here to help. You're not allowed to help. Oh, okay. Can you say that to this here reporter in this microphone right here on my YouTube channel? Huh? Can you do that? Can you do that for me? Yeah, I know you understand this, Barry. I'm just trying to inspire you, you know, and how this is going to work itself out.
Oh, it's going to work out. I have no doubt about it. The people are resilient. Like, they really are. And they're ingenious, too.
You know, that was what Derek was saying. You know, Bob and I, when we were back in New England in October, and the service was just so bad. It's just, you know, it's a, you know, the work ethic, you know, the union mentality, as opposed to like Arizona, that's a right to work state, which means, you know, we don't care if you're a union or not, you can get fired, you know. And so that mentality where you actually have to do your job, and you go back there and it's like, you know, there's twice as many employees on the floor and half as much customer service. And I'm going, what the hell is going on? And Bob goes, the great culling is coming. And what he meant, he's going, yeah, when this all happens and the economy hits and the coronavirus or whatever, there's going to be a lot of people that don't make it. They're just sitting there waiting for somebody to take care of them, and they're dead. You know. So when I was talking to Derek about it, I go, yeah, the great culling, he goes, I don't think so. He was saying what you were saying. He goes, when people have to, they get creative. You know, they can survive in a van down by the river if they have to, and I think you're going to get creative. And I'm going, all right, because here it comes. So because the challenges are coming, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. 2020 is the year. Hey, will you keep me informed on this? I mean, make an effort. Yeah. You know, make a phone call. Do one search, something, you know, and let me know.
You leave that with me, and you're looking for some people to interview. I'll see what I can rustle up for you.
Yeah. You know, I think it's more – yeah, this mindset, you know, the quiet man that you know finally get off his butt because his redheaded wife is bitching so much for him to do something, you know. So he went out and saved the planet and stuff. I want to talk to that guy.
Take care of yourself.
All right, thanks, Barry. It's good talking. Say, give a big hug and wet one to Emma for me. All right.
Say hi to Donna too.
You bet. Talk to you later, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye.